Jesus said, and God said, and he, Jesus was quoting the book of Exodus when he said it in the New Testament, but God told Moses in the Old Testament that every word in the Bible is important. Every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And sometimes you just have to pause at a word and do some study to really get the full meaning of what God's trying to tell us with that word. And such is the case with this word, Mizpah. Mizpah, the last word, or the word that's mentioned in verse 49, the last verse that we read for our scripture reading. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. I mean, you can put it in the context of these verses and come away with thinking that it's one meaning, but if you really study the word and what it means, you walk away with another meaning. I read a little story. Somebody was talking about this word and says, well, Mizpah, she was the wife of Mr. Pa and the mother of all the Pa children. Of course, now that absolutely is not true. There's no Mr. Pa or children Pa. Sometimes it gets misunderstood. A lot of people read it and say, well, they were saying goodbye to one another and they were saying God bless each other, Mizpah. The Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. And that's true, it means that, but it goes a little bit deeper than that. It has a little bit more meaning than that. It's like I read a story the other day about somebody said the word Maranatha. Behold, it means behold the Lord cometh. And a hippie read that and misunderstood the word and said, goodbye, God bless you, marijuana. Instead of saying Maranatha. And again, when somebody reads this word Mizpah, I know, shake your head, that was bad. Oh, but anyhow, but when they read this word Mizpah, they don't go deep enough. And again, it means the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. But it means a little bit more than that. And again, we read in the context, and let me just remind you of the story. Jacob had been in his old homeland. Not his old homeland, but Abraham's old homeland. He was sent there because he deceived his brother Esau out of his birthright and out of the deathbed blessing that Isaac was going to give Esau. Jacob dressed up like Esau, came in and stole that blessing. And Esau made the statement that when dad dies, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take revenge. I'm just going to kill you. And his mother, Rebekah, heard that, and she sent him to her back to her brother, the place that Abraham came from, Ur of the Chaldees, and to live with her brother, Laban, until Esau got over his being mad at Jacob. And so he went there, and he worked, you know the story as well as I do. He worked 14 years for his two wives. He made a deal with Laban, his uncle, said, I'll work 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And he worked the 7 years, and that night when he was supposed to be given Rachel, he was given her sister, Leah. And Laban said, well, you know, we don't do it that way in this country. We don't give the younger away before we give the older away. Just work 7 more years and I'll give you Rachel too. And so he ended up working another 7 years and worked 14 years for his two wives. And then he worked another 6 years. So he was there all about 20 years altogether, worked another 6 years. And God gave him an abundance of animals, of cattle and goats and different animals out of Laban's tribe. Now, he was watching the animals for Laban, and that was part of his payment. And then Laban's sons, so it had been Jacob's cousins, began to look at everything that Jacob had gathered, all the animals and all the wealth, and he said, and they said, he's taking our father's wealth. He's taking our inheritance. And Jacob heard this and said, what should I do? And God said, well, go on back home. It's time you went back home. And so Jacob did not tell Laban. He sort of waited till Laban was gone and snuck away with his children and his wives and all his animals. And it was a big group by this time. And Laban heard that he snuck away and took his sons and some other men and chased him. And they met up here in Genesis chapter 31. And again, just quickly, Laban said, well, why did you leave without telling me? Why you could have told me, and we could have had a party, and I could have sent you away. I mean, these are my daughters. These are my grandchildren. Everything that you see was mine at one time. I mean, I know you work for it, but it was mine at one time. You should have told me that you were going to leave. And they had this discussion, and many people read this agreement that we read in verse 43 down through verse 49 and think, well, this was their, you know, this was their parting. They were saying goodbye to each other. They left on good terms, and they were happy about leaving. Now, I want to tell you, if you study the word mizpah and go a little bit deeper, yes, it means the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another, but it also means we're setting up this border between us, and if you're cross the border, God's going to get you. God's going to get you. He's going to watch as we're separated from one another, but where we're drawing this border, where this line that's in the sand, or these rock piles that they set up, this is the border. Don't cross over this border, because if you do, God is going to get you. You see, they didn't separate on good terms. You go back and you look at verse 36, and Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Rachel had stolen her father's gods, the statues. And one of the reasons that Laban was chasing him was to get his gods back. And Jacob said, well, hey, whoever stole them, kill them. Just go ahead and find them and kill them. And Rachel hit them, and her dad did not find them. And so Jacob was upset, very upset, that Laban came after him in this manner. And so they had this discussion, and again, they piled up these stones, and they said, Mizpah, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another, but go ahead and add the next line. If you cross this line and come after me, God's going to get you. That was what the word means, if you take it and put everything together that it means. Now, as I mentioned this morning when I was talking about what I was going to preach tonight, Laban meant it for bad, but God used it for good in the life of Jacob. Same concept, same idea, when Joseph's brother sold him as a slave into Egypt. He told him on a couple different occasions, you meant it for bad. You were trying to get me. You were jealous. You wanted to get rid of me so that dad wouldn't love me more than he loved you. And so you meant it for bad. I mean, you were just trying to get rid of me. But God meant it for good. He knew the 7-year famine was going to come, and he sent me before you to Egypt to gather up all this food so that I can save your lives during this time of famine. You meant it for bad, God meant it for good. And in the same way, Laban said, yeah, we're going to Mizpah. God watch between us while we're separated, and don't cross this line, because the moment you cross this line and come after me, God's going to get you. And he meant it for bad. He was trying to send a bad message to Jacob, but God meant it for good. Because you see, the next day, the next night, or maybe that night, I have to go back. I think the next night, Jacob was going to wrestle with an angel. All right? And he was getting ready to go back home. He was getting ready to go back and face a couple of things that he had to face, that he needed God's protection. He needed to know that God was watching over him. And again, Laban said, yeah, God's going to watch over us while we're separated, but don't cross this line, because when you do, he's going to get you. But Jacob needed to be reminded that God was going to watch over him, because he was facing two things. First of all, he was facing his past. He had cheated Esau. I mean, he had traded a bowl of stew for the birthright, the right to get a double portion in the inheritance, the right to be the judge of the family after dad died. He had deceived his father on his father's, what he thought his father's deathbed was, when he dressed up like Esau. You remember his mother helped him put sheepskin on his wrist and behind his neck and dressed him in Esau's clothes and made goats taste like deer and brought in that dish and Isaac ate and blessed him. And then for 20 years, he'd been outside the will of God. I don't think it was God's will that he go back home. I think it was God's will that he made things right with his brother and stayed at home, but he was outside of God's will for 20 years, and then all this stuff that happened with his father-in-law, and so Jacob could look back at his past, and he was haunted by his past. I mean, he had messed up in the past. So he was facing his past. He needed to know that God was watching him. He was also facing the future. In just a few days, he was going to meet up with Esau. And you remember, Esau was the big, strong, burly hunter of a brother. Jacob was a weak little sissy that liked to stay home and cook. All right? So here you have, I'm not trying to belittle anybody that cooks. Please don't misunderstand me. I have eaten some fine meals by male chefs, and so I'm not trying to castigate anybody. I'm just making the picture between Esau and Jacob. I mean, if anybody was going to be afraid of the other one, Jacob was afraid of Esau. All right, and he was going home. He was going to face Esau, and he was worried, what's Esau going to do to me? And you remember, he sent his servants ahead, and the servants came back and said, oh yeah, Esau's coming to meet you, and he's got 400 men with him. And Jacob said, I'm done. I know I'm done. He's going to kill me. Why else would he bring these 400 men? He's going to kill me. He's going to kill all my family. I deserve it. I deserve it. And so Jacob was worried about his past. He was worried about his future, and he needed to be reminded that God was going to guard him from both. And again, Laban meant it in a negative way, but he was reminding Jacob before he went and had to face the sins of his past and face the uncertain future that God was going to watch him, that God was going to be that guard that was like a sentinel around his life, like a guard around his life, and was not going to let anything into his life unless it was for his good. When I preach, I worry about three things. Before I preach, I worry about what I'm going to say. While I'm preaching, I'm worrying about what I am saying. And after I preach, I worried about what I said. Okay? So I know what Jacob was facing. I mean, he was worried about the past. He was worried about the future. And all of us can sort of identify with Jacob a little bit. Because all of us can look back about in our past and say there are things that if we had another chance to do them, we'd do them different. There are things that we would say that we were sorry for. There are things that we should have done that we didn't do, places that we went that we shouldn't have went, people that we hurt that we should not have hurt. And all of us probably can look back into our past and say, yeah, there are some things that I am sorry for that I wish I had done different. That was true certainly in Jacob's life. I think at this point in his life, he was looking back and said, boy, I wish I would have gave Esau that bowl of stew for nothing. I wish I didn't make him trade his birthright for it. I wish I'd never gone in and deceived my father and got that blessing from him. I wish I'd never had to go away from home and spend 20 years away from my mom and my dad and my brother. There's no place in the Bible we know that Jacob was still alive. I mean that Isaac was still alive when Jacob came back home. But there's no record in the Bible that Rebecca was still alive. I sort of think that when Jacob left home, he never saw his mother again, that she died in that 20-year time period before he got back home. And remember, he was her favorite. And I'm sure they had a close bond between the two of them. And I'm sure Jacob, as he faced going back home, thought about his past and said, boy, there are some things I wish I would have done different. There are some things that I wish I had not have done. Mizpah, Jacob, Mizpah, God is guarding you from your past. Yes, you've messed up. Yes, you've done some things that you probably shouldn't have done, but it's in the past, and God will protect you from that past. And I want to remind you tonight that God does the same thing for us. Our past is in the past. He's taken our sins. They're under the blood. He has chosen to forget them. He has put them in the depths of the sea. They are behind his back. He has removed them as far from us as the east is from the west. They have been blotted out. He remembers them no more. And if you went to heaven and looked at your record in heaven, the record of your life, there would be no sin recorded on that record. In fact, what's recorded on your record is the righteousness, the goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen. He protects us from our past. You say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Neither does God. Don't remind him. Don't remind him. Now, and I preached this before, and you know, God remembers, but he's chosen to forget. He's chosen to forget. And we sing that little song sometimes. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E. Gone. Gone. Now, I'll tell you, Satan would like to remind us of our sins. He comes and he would like nothing better than to get us lost again, okay? To get us accountable for our sins again. But I was thinking the other day, you know what Satan would have to do to get me lost and to get you lost? You know what he'd have to do? Well, first of all, he'd have to go to the depths of the sea and get my sins, because that's where God put him. Then he'd somehow have to get to behind God and get my sins, because that's where he put them. He'd have to go east until east is no more and runs into the west. And I don't know how you do that, but you go east until east turns into west and get my sins, because that's where God put them. He'd have to go to heaven, to the mercy seat in heaven, and lift up the blood of Jesus Christ that covers my sins and get my sins. He'd have to get into the book of life and erase my name from the book of life. He'd have to make God remember my sins when God has chosen to forget them. He'd have to pry open the hands of God to get to the hand of Jesus, and then he'd have to pry open the hand of Jesus to get to me. And if he got there, he'd be in Christ just like me, and he'd be saved, and he wouldn't want to get me lost. And he wouldn't want to get you lost either. Now, he's never going to get there because he's rebelled against God and said, I want to be God. I want to be just like God. But I want you to know tonight that God walks guard around our past, and there's nothing that Satan can do to get to our sins and put them back on our account. They're gone. Mizpah. He walks guard around us. God also walks guard around us and our future. Jacob was worried about facing his brother, Esau. But Mizpah, God will take care of you. Now, what he was about to do, he should have done 20 years ago. He should have went to Esau and said, Esau, I've messed up. I've treated you bad. I have not treated you like a brother. I have not treated you the right way. I have not treated you like God wants me to treat you. Let me just say tonight, if there's something between you and somebody, go get it right. Say, preacher, it's not my fault. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. Go get it right. Go get it right. Again, Jacob went in, had to leave home. Never saw his mother again. All because of something that he did that he should have made right. Anytime we try to run from making things right with others, we'll end up the same way. We will miss the blessings of God. We will miss the will of God for our life. We just need to make it right. Now listen, all of us are worried about the future in some way. If you have little children, you're worried about what the world's going to be like when they grow up. If you have children that's about to graduate from high school or college, worry about them. Are they going to be able to find a job? Are they going to be able to make a living in this world? If you're a middle-aged man, a middle-aged woman, and have family, you worry. Are they going to be able to make it? Somebody told me a long time ago, said, you'll never stop being a parent. And I've learned what that means. You never stop being a parent. And when grandchildren come along, it gets better in some way, but it gets worse in another way because you got more to worry about. Because, and again, I know it's a sin to worry, and that's what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm preaching that God watches, guard over us. And he will help us in the future, so we don't need to worry about it. But we worry about that. When we get up to our senior years, we worry about our health. I was walking Aaron along just down the aisle a minute ago, and I think Bob told me, he said, yep, someday he's going to be walking you like that. And hopefully someday he will. I'll need him to lead me. And so we think about that. But I want to remind you tonight, the same God that protects us from our past, that will never let any of our sins come back to us, never let any of our shortcomings come back to us. The same God that guards us from our past guards us in the future. And I'll remind you tonight, he is a good God, a good God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. Never. In Philippians 4:19, it says he will supply all our needs. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 27, and Psalm 121, verse 3, it reminds us that he never slumbers or sleeps. Never. In Psalm 31, verse 3, he is our rock. In Psalm 46, 1, he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Hebrews 7, 25, it says he will save us to the uttermost. In Psalm 121, verse 5, he is our keeper. In Psalm 118, verse 2, his mercy endureth forever. Let me just stop and park there for a second. Aren't you glad that God's mercy will never run out? Huh? Aren't you glad that his mercy just is everlasting? Say, preacher, do we need mercy after we get saved? I don't know about you, but I need a lot of God's mercy. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. I'm one of his children, but I tell you what, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad it's everlasting. In Psalm 62, verse 7, he's our salvation. In Psalm 23, he leads us. In Psalm 18, verse 2, he is our fortune. In Psalm 144, verse 2, he is our high tower. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, he is our foundation. In Psalm 48, verse 14, he's our guide. In Psalm 61, verse 3, he's our shelter. In Psalm 32, verse 7, he's our hiding place. And I've just skimmed the surface tonight. Don't worry about the future. Mizpah. He walks guard and will keep watch over us. Jacob was going to go to Esau. And he was going to say, my brother, would you please forgive me? And you that know the story know that he sent a gift of some animals, different herds of animals. And when he got to Esau, instead of having to beg for his life, instead of having to pay all these animals to get Esau's forgiveness, the Bible says, and Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Jacob was worried about what Esau was going to do to him, and yet in that 20 years, God had touched Esau's heart, and he missed Jacob as much as Jacob missed Esau. And when he heard that his brother was coming home, he didn't wait till he made it home. He said, I'm going to go out and meet him. I can't wait till he gets home. I'm going to go out and meet him, and I'm going to take some men just in case he needs some help. Those men weren't gathered to destroy Jacob and his family. Those men were brought with Esau to help make sure he got home safely. And some of the things that we worry about, God In fact, let me back up. All of the things that we worry about in the future, God has charge and control over. And we don't need to worry, because God's going to guard us against that future and will take care of us. Worried about the past? Then sing that song. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart's rolled away. Every sin had to go. Neath the crimson flow. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart's rolled away. Worried about the future? Then sing that song. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. Mizpah. Mizpah. God's watching us. Mizpah. God's protecting us. Mizpah. He's walking guard around our life. He won't let the past catch up with us, and he won't let the future destroy us. He's our guard. Mizpah. Mizpah. Again, as I preached last week, if you just take one thing away from this message tonight, take that word, Mizpah. 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 He's our guard. Nothing gets in unless he allows it. Now, quickly, I'll remind you that this promise is only to those that know him as their Savior. It's only to his children. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, you still face your past and the sins of your past. And those sins one day, if you don't get them taken care of, are going to take you to hell. The wages of sin is death, separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But our sins have been paid for. Jesus took them all when he went to the cross. He paid for every single one of them. And if you'll come and trust him, he'll give you that gift of salvation that he wants to give to every single person. So if you're here tonight and you never trusted Christ, I can't think of a better time to do it than right now. Right now, this very moment, to trust him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for that one word, Mizpah, and for reminding us that you guard our life. Nothing comes into it unless you allow it. And everything that comes into it, if you allow it, has a purpose. And so I pray tonight we wouldn't worry about the past, we wouldn't worry about the future, that we would learn from the past and we would prepare for the future. But Father, we wouldn't worry about them because you're our guard. You're our guard. Mizpah. I pray tonight if there's somebody here who doesn't know Jesus, that they'd understand that they're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it. If they come and trust him tonight, he'll save them. Give them all those things that we talked about tonight, as well as a home in heaven. And so I pray you'll speak to their hearts. If there's just one here tonight that needs Christ, help them to come and receive them. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.